sons and the daughters see. I surrender him my all. I surrender to the King. Well, Father, I can see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come and let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Well, Father, I can see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing by your side, oh, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, oh, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, oh, let the sons and the daughters see. I surrender him my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, yes. Father, I can hear it growing louder. It's a song of your redeemed. As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, and from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring, this is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, yes, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender him my all. Daughters see, I surrender him my all. Oh, I surrender to the King. One more time, sing it, church. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters see. I surrender him my all. Oh, I surrender to the King. Amen. You're going to surrender your all this evening. Amen. It's just good to be with you, each and every one. Wonderful service we had this morning. Amen. Let's just keep that praise and worship going as we sing the song, Our God Reigns.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Yes, good news. Announcing peace, proclaiming news of like sheep.
that we should be. Think about that. Drawn to Him, and He was despised, yet we took no account of Him, yet now He reigns. Hallelujah. With the Most High. Church. Oh, He is alive. When God loves us so, see, hear His hands, His feet, His sound. And yes, we know, well, He is alive. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, yes, of famine, darkness, and sorrow, the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Are the days of Ezekiel? Will the dry bones be coming as flesh? These are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, for the fields are all white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Shining like the sun at the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. You ready now? Well, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Oh, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Now to Zion till salvation comes. Sing it again now. There's no God like Jehovah. Ain't that right? There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Come on and lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation come. Well, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation come.
Your jubilee. Glory to God. Amen. Every praise is to our God, musicians. Well, every praise to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise. Come on, sing now. Sing hallelujah, church. We'll give him praise. Every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing it again. Every praise. And every praise to our God. Every word of worship. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. One more time, one more time. And every praise to our God. Oh, every word of worship. Oh, every praise, oh, this is what you've been waiting for, right? God, my Savior.
God, my Savior.
Oh, you're my healer.
God, my healer.
You're my deliverer.
God, my deliverer.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And every praise to our God. Oh, every word. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God, my Savior.
God, my Savior.
My healer.
My healer.
My deliverer.
God, my healer.
Yes, he is. God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Oh, God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. We're going to take a change the mode of our service here and take our special needs. Musicians can play We Fall Down. Amen. Softly there as we mention these needs. Many of these were spoken this morning. We'll make note of them again so that you can continue to pray for these individuals. Remembering especially in prayer, Sister Tina Knobloch, with her special need, and Brother Ron, amen, during this time, God would move on the scene. Have a prayer request here for Sister Rachel Pritchard, still dealing with some very severe back pain, and I want to hold her hearts in prayer. Have the need for Sister Sarah Buchanan, to please remember her, amen, and also Brother Keith was not feeling well, so he was not here this evening. Keep him in your prayers, if you would, amen. Sister Carrie certainly needs prayer, and also her special need for her father. He had a stroke, and he's in ICU, and our hearts go out to the Whitlock family. We're going to be holding them up in prayer. Remember the Ivies, not with us today, and that's all I have at this time. If you have unspoken prayer requests, by the uplifted hand. Brother Sam Britton in the house. Brother Chris Clayville, since you're there, would you come forward, brother, and take these needs to the Lord?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to come into your house tonight. Lord, I had the scripture on my mind today that there's one thing that we desire, Lord, and that's to dwell in your house, to inquire in your temple. Father, we're here to be drawn closer to you and to learn more about you, and we just ask you to come with your presence, Lord, and be with us tonight. Lord, we've heard the needs that have been brought before the people. Lord, my heart goes to Brother Ron and Sister Tina. Just ask a special blessing on them. Give them strength and guidance, and just ask for your mercy to be upon them. Lord, be with each need that was brought before you. Lord, our desire is that your perfect will would be done in each, and that you would find glory in each of our needs, Father. Lord, be with the minister as he brings forth the word. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris. You can have your seats. Brother Jeremiah, I'm going to come on up. Jeremiah Sheffield has a song for us, and then shortly after that, we'll have Sister Lily Harwell. I understand she has a special. And so, come on up, Brother Jeremiah.
Can just sing with me. I get pretty nervous when I'm up here, but y'all sing with me, I think it'll be a lot better.
I have journeyed Song. Thank you, Sister Lily. And would you stand to your feet with me? And let's ask our deacons if they would make their way forward. And we'll take up our evening offering. Amen. Make plenty of time for the word. Why don't we just sing that song, Speak the Name of Jesus, musicians? Amen. I'll ask Brother Jeff Jackson.
Let's all pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Lord. Father, we thank you for the service that we had this morning. I pray, Lord, that you fill our cups tonight, Lord, as you did this morning. Father, I pray that you just bless this offering for what it's used for. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. And I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every
soul held captive by depression. Oh, I speak Jesus. Yes, Lord, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Come on, help me sing it, church. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind.
'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Your name is power.
Give him an offering of praise tonight. Sounds so nice. Sounds so good. Sounds so good. Let's sing that just as Brother Trevor comes. Let's sing that little chorus, Commune With Me. I just wanted to say we appreciate our all of you coming tonight. We have some of our visitors who are still here. And we have two sisters that came a long way, right? And one of you came from Canada. Isn't that right? And from Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah.
You and Brother Barry's church?
Yeah.
Wow, good man. He's a good man. And we appreciate you coming all that way. And God bless you. We hope it's been a blessing to you. So may the Lord bless you all. And you know, it's not over. We have another service. And don't underestimate God's ability to come and do great things in just a little gathering like this. And God is not intimidated by whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or if it's a big crowd, little crowd. God's never concerned about those things. We get our eye on that, but he never does. He just says, if there's two or three gathered, I'm there. I'm there. I'm right there. And whenever he comes, good things always happen. So let's just enter in and just chase away the tiredness and weariness, and let's just receive what God has for us. Come with me.
we go. Praise the Lord. So anyway, was that your desire tonight? Commune with him. Amen. Lovely song. I just didn't know it. But praise the Lord. That's our heart. That's our cry. Lord, commune with us. That'd be a whole lot better than communing with Brother Trevor. So let's all just pray, God, you use the vessel. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Greet the Van Ard family in the back. So good to see them, good friends of ours. Amen, praise the Lord. You know, something about this church is different than a lot of churches, and that is, you don't always sit in the same places. some of you do, but some of you kind of move it around, and then I have to, like, look around and go, wait, where's so-and-so, are they here? No, I don't know. Oh, there they are. And it's just... you know, most people are creatures of habit. You know, we have the same seat at our church. You know, we come in the doors back here Saturday night, and my wife is over by that door. I'm like, what are you doing? We're on the left side. We come in the left door. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Happy to be together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many raise your hands in church?
Amen.
Half. That's good. We're making progress. They're trying to get my slides loaded, I think. And I put some pictures in there, so maybe that, I don't know what's going on. Praise the Lord. We're going to read the scripture while they try to get that out. So Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach this topic tonight, we pray that you would illuminate our hearts by it, Father, that you would give us understanding, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Father, what we spoke on this morning, just the vision of grace and the faith that we can have in that. Lord, it's wonderful, but Father, maybe just still feeling a little incomplete, Lord, because we want our lives to bring glory and honor to you. So Father, teach us now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. So tonight I want to speak on the topic of self-control. And my son was like, what kind of crazy talk is that? Like, who preaches on self-control? And, you know, but it's a topic that we need to look at and that we need to, we should pull the timer out and we should start that. Oh, man, I already started it. You guys get a bonus. But it's what we talked about this morning, it probably felt incomplete to us to some degree. Like, it's wonderful to talk about grace. It's wonderful to be told, hey, it's okay. Even Paul was there and all of these things. But yet at the same time, it's like, man, Lord, I want to do better. Like, thank you for your grace. No qualification. Thank you. But Lord, I would like to get to a place where, you know, I need it completely, but where I felt like I needed your grace less, Lord. And what that would mean was be like, Lord, I want to be a better Christian. I want to, in my flesh, I want to fail less. In my flesh, I want my all that I am to be yielded to you for your service, Lord, that you could do amazing things for your kingdom with that body, with that flesh, yes. Lord, with this vessel. Lord, I would love to be that person, but I have to first recognize that it can't be any of me and that it has to be all of you, or we get back to the pride problem that we talked about earlier. Right? And so God, so now I realize I have to have this platform of grace to eliminate any of my pride so that I never am under any delusion to think, my, aren't I super Christian? My, don't I serve the Lord well? Shouldn't other people be like me? And it, no, it takes away all of that from us, but yet at the same time, God, I would love, because of what you've done now, the heart that you've given me, I love you, Lord, and I want to do good things for you. Amen. I want to be pleasing to you. Yeah. And amen, praise the Lord. That's one. Do you want that?
Amen.
Two people and everybody else, amen, good. And so, right, so I want that, Lord. I want to be that vessel that you can use, and I want to be pleasing for you. I selfishly even, Lord, I'd rather not feel bad about the times I fall. Like I'd like there to be less feeling bad about how often I fall.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Right? Grace is wonderful, but Lord, I would love that. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Joe says, yeah. Right? I think that'd be not like that's yes, Lord, this is the Christian experience I want. So we want to talk about this topic of self-control, because what we want to begin to do is to recognize that, hey, you can have self-control. I know nobody tells you that in culture these days, that you are just a product of your environment and, you know, your diagnoses are the reason you are the way you are, and go ahead and just identify yourself by your diagnosis, and that's who you are, and you might as well recognize that you are a person with X, Y, or Z, and a person with X, Y, or Z will always do this, and there's nothing you can do about it, and I thought this might make me be a little unpopular, but you guys all seem to be okay with it so far. So far, hopefully not being the key words. So anyway, we should go to the relevant passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, where we talk about temperance, where we find this in Scripture. And this sermon might just be a little bit of a hodgepodge of stuff about self-control, and hopefully at the end I'll kind of wrap up with some thoughts. And I don't know. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I hope this is very practical to us, though. Like,
sure.
That's what I would like it to be. So it, even if it's not smooth, I hope it's practical. And beside this, giving all diligence. Anybody know what diligence is? I just thought maybe somebody would give me a definition so that I didn't have to give you all a definition. That made me, we're putting our effort into this. We're giving everything we got into this. Like this is something I'm really a part of. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Brother Branham will say in blasphemous names, to my knowledge, I add temperance, self-control. I like that. My country, 'tis of thee, crown my soul with self-control from sea to shining sea. Okay, so self-control, temperance. We're talking about now the stature of a perfect man, and we understand the word temperance is the same thing as self-control. And so Brother Branham will say, now, while we're here together and all of us longing the same thing, make us true stewards. May we shape our lives by self-control, that we'll know by the help of the Holy Spirit to have full confidence that Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, at that day. So here we begin to recognize we're being given this thing called self-control that we are to shape our lives by. And that is what we've all testified that we want. I want to live that better life. Well, I want to shape my life into something that God would be pleased with. Well, here we go. How are you going to shape your life? By self-control. Amen. Obvious? I don't know. Has anybody told you? This is what you need. You need some self-control. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. We're gonna bring the Holy Spirit into this, but you need to give some diligence to, hey, wait, maybe, just maybe, I actually have agency in whether I'm doing something or not. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so you're probably all very familiar with this. You know, we've got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. If you would have had me as a Sunday school teacher, you would have memorized that whole list, and then you would have memorized the seven church ages, and you would have memorized the seven church age messengers, and you would have been encouraged to memorize even the seven church age messenger years that they, or the age, you know, the ages, the years of the ages. And I don't know that any of my students ever really got that down, but that, you know, that was a stretch goals. But this is a stature of a perfect man. This is Brother Branham will use this first, the 2 Peter 1. He will use this in the message titled "The Stature of a Perfect Man." Now, isn't that what we're saying? Like, Brother Trevor, I would like to be a perfect man. I would like to be a perfect woman. I would like to, though I have grace that ultimately is that which perfects me and cleanses me and justifies, yet I want to bring my life to a place where I have all of these things that God has put into my life and can use me. Now, I want to just make some observations that I have, you know, just thinking through here. Like, faith, virtue, knowledge. Well, where are these things? How do you get these things? You don't, you know, like, what can you do to receive faith? What can you do to receive virtue, which Brother Branham will tell us is power? What can you do to receive knowledge? These are all things that God is giving to us. Now, obviously, you know, repentance and coming to the altar and hearing the word, and that's faith, and right? But all of these things are, in one way of looking at it, these first three are external to us. These are things that God provides to us, that they are the basis and the stability of this platform called Stature of a Perfect Man. But we get to temperance, patience, godliness. You know, these are not exactly the things that God just puts in his super soaker of, you know, Stature of a Perfect Man and pumps that up and then shoots you with that thing. And just now, there you go. You've got it because you got hit by the stream of temperance. You have self-control. How did you get it? God gave it to you. That just seems kind of backwards, right? Like, it's like, I have self-control. How'd you get it? I did nothing. So when you say self, right, it doesn't work, right? So this is now that you have faith, now that you've been given this virtue, now that you've been given the knowledge of the word and what to do, now you begin, as you grow to adding these things, suddenly we come to temperance. And it's just like, okay, I did this, I gave you this, your turn. Right? And that's what we talked about this morning. We talked about that platform of faith in the grace of God. And now if we want to talk about improving and shaping our lives into the stature of a perfect man, now we get to temperance or self-control, and suddenly it's like, hey, now you're accountable and have agency to do something with these things in your life. Okay, so, you know, we can start, you know, well, how do you begin to do this? Well, you know, we'll use our chocolate metaphor that we used this morning, you know, and maybe you've been eating 5 pieces of chocolate a day, which seems light. and you think, Lord, I want to be a perfect man. I want to start having self-control. I want to start shaping my life. I'm going to get rid of chocolate. Now, some people are pretty good at that. Now, I will confess, because of who I am, of course, you know, I was able to go Mountain Dew free for over a year of my life when I was like 19. I know, it's a big deal, right? So, like, it can be done, but was that self-control or was that just, you know, me wanting to prove I could? Thank you. It was probably me just wanting to prove I could. But we naturally, like, I want to bring out this example. It's like, okay, so if you're eating 5 pieces of chocolate and you want to begin to learn, like, hey, self-control doesn't just come like this. Suddenly I have had no self-control, and now I am a person with self-control. And now I'm just going to try to, like, think through and control every aspect of my entire life rigidly. I'm going to tell you, you're up for a failure. Right? That's not how the Holy Spirit does things. You're not just here and boom, done. Like sometimes there's deliverance that comes in immediately. There's miraculous deliverance. And sometimes there's the deliverance of good old-fashioned godly self-control. And I've had 5 pieces of chocolate every day, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to limit myself to 4. And then this is how I got to drinking black coffee, because I realized, like, man, if, you know, it's like if I have that much sugar in my coffee every day, like, okay, let's add that for a year. That's how many bags of sugar is that? And times 10 years. And I thought, well, this is probably unhealthy. I'm going to start less and less and less. And then until it got to me where I was like sprinkling granules. And I'm like, is that doing anything? I could just end it now. And then that's how I got to the point where I just drink black coffee now, and I don't have to have caramel and cream and sugar and all of this. And it's like, yeah, it's just teaching you self-control. This is how it's done, people. Like, right? So, but it's to say that God even works through this process through you, because he's actually asking you to grow in your faith like that oak tree. He is not asking you to just, hey, boom, here you go. We planted a seed. Expect an oak tomorrow. Right? So there's things, and as we talked about grace, that grace has now been given to us and settled this sin question, and you're receiving the Holy Spirit. But even if you've received the Holy Spirit, you still might be impacted by the addictions of your past. Okay, that went well. People thought that was okay. That's good. Because that's, sometimes we think, well, if I got the Holy Spirit, I should be perfect. Well, sometimes your brain probably needs a healing too. And your brain, just like any other healing, sometimes God heals miraculously. And sometimes he heals slowly. And so, well, I'm going to do my part in my own healing. And so if I've been metaphorically here, 5 pieces of chocolate, I'm going to cut myself down to 4 for a while. And then I'm going to go down to 3. I'm going to control things. I'm going to grow. And as you strengthen your ability to self-control, do you think that, okay, I've done this for chocolate, can you do it again in anything else in your life? You'll be able to build on your success. And so now all of this should be like, Brother Trevor, this is probably one of the most simple things we have ever heard in church. And that's fine, because we're gonna grow this, but we've kind of got to start to get this, like, because the next thing we want to ask is like, well, why would I start? How do I identify the things I need self-control? Like, why would I start? What's all kind, like, right? There's got to be an internal reason that you would do all of these things. And so we'll talk about that hopefully by the end. So Brother Branham says in the message indictment, we all claim to be the bride of Christ and yet so untrue. What would make the untrueness? By living contrary to the discipline that God has laid out for his bride to live by. That's my own opinion, the Bible. And it is the infallible word of God, I believe. So God has given us the Bible. Now, again, we want to make sure we make the correct distinctions here between what we talked about this morning with grace and what we're talking about on what you can do. You are this discipline God has laid out for his bride is that she might become pleasing to him. This is the Bible is doing that, and we are not talking about what those things in the law that you have been divorced from. These are two different things, right? Everybody, we're together on that. We can make that distinction in our minds that we're not putting the law back on ourselves. No, discipline is different from law, especially when we're talking about self-discipline, on discipline in the ways of the athlete, not discipline in the ways of your parents after you backtalked. Right? Two different things, right? Related, but different. Okay, so Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Paul has reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, this is like, hey, it's youth meetings, Everybody's engaged. Everybody's like, yeah, Brother Trevor, I want to have self-control. Thank you. What was your name? What? You know, you don't have to. Mr. Unnamed in the corner wants self-control. That's fine. Might have been better for you to tell me. I don't know. But anyway, but there's going to come a time when the rubber meets the road and you want to decrease your chocolate intake. And suddenly you're like, do I really want self-control? Like, is less chocolate really where I want to take my life? Right? Again, metaphorical chocolate, metaphorical Delilah. You know. Right? And so here Felix is, and he actually trembled. He's heard of righteousness. He's heard now of temperance. But his response is, hey, you know what? When it's more convenient, let's talk about this. And so here we begin to see there are attacks on. We can all sit in church and go, yeah, we should have self-control. But we should understand there are attacks upon our own desire to have self-control in which, well, I could leave here and, you know, and this is great. We should have self-control. Amen. And then tomorrow it's like, you know, what Brother Trevor said, I should begin to apply that and I should limit the chocolate. I'm just not ready. You know, I'm just not ready for that today. You know, I should, you know what I should do? I should eat all the chocolate in my house. And then once it's gone, just not buy more. But we should, like, I have made the investment already. Right, and so I'm slowing down here so that we can transition from chocolate metaphor to I don't know what it is in your life that you might be struggling with, that you might be dealing with, where it's like, and I really should get rid of that thing. That actually, when Brother Trevor was preaching this morning, I could identify that thing. Man, I wish that was out of my life. Thank you, unnamed brother in the corner. And so I'm sorry, I'll stop. Anyway, and so, right? So that's easy to identify. That thing, yeah, Brother Trevor, that's the one. Like, if I could just come and you could pray for me and the Holy Spirit would just take it away from me, man, wouldn't that be great, Brother Trevor? Okay, let's deal with that now. Let's let the Holy Spirit deal with that in your life through the shaping of self-control. That sounds good, Brother Trevor, really it does. What sounded better was the prayer.
Yeah.
You know, just supernatural deliverance sounded way better. I just like, do you feel like he is worth everything? Do you feel like he is worth you deciding, God, you know what? If I have to shape my life, I will shape my life. Is he worth that? And so this is what we begin to start understanding about self-control is it not merely the work that is, okay, I should have less chocolate every day for the next 6 months, but it is far more something inside of me, the Holy Spirit witnessing inside of me. You know what? I need less chocolate, and it is worth me giving all diligence in my life to structure things in such a way that I could be successful in getting rid of that. But before you can begin the work of doing that, there has to be something inside of you that has negotiated and said, this is worth doing. This is worth the effort. This is worth the struggle. Right? Okay. So make no mistake, it is not merely doing this stuff, but as Felix is experiencing, he's like, hey, that sounds hard. I should probably do that, but hey, there's going to be a better time for that for me at some other point in time. We can see this is not the answer of a Holy Spirit-filled believer. Right? So, Brother Branham says, we ask you, Lord, to give us your word tonight. Speak to us, Lord, and warm our hearts strangely, that we would know how to discipline ourselves for the great time that lays ahead, as we believe we are nearing the coming of the Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Chasten us, Lord, with thy spirit and thy word, that we might discipline ourselves, obedient servants in the will of God. Let us remember and try to think in our hearts what the early Christians done. What type of people would we meet if we met those who had personally been in contact with you? How their faces must have lit up with faith and joy. How their lives must have been living the word of God. Just written epistles read of all men as they walked in and among people. God, grant it once more. And so he's saying, there is discipline here. Right? But this is much more self-discipline. This is you investing in your own success in your walk with Christ. Is this okay? Is this all right that we can talk about these things? That we can... I think sometimes that our... that we have lifted up Christ in such a way, and obviously we should lift him up, but we have focused on the supernatural in the immediate. And we do this in healing. We do this, you come up for prayer, I hope that you're expecting an immediate miracle. But I hope your faith is not hindered if you do not receive it immediately, but that you are continuing in faith, recognizing, God, what you said, even if it's 25 years, I am healed. That's what your word says. Right? And so too, we focus in character change on God. I'm going to come, Brother Trevor's going to pray, and boom, I am, much more perfect than I was. And that just isn't how it works usually. Amen. Right? Okay, so from the rejected king, when the enemy comes into a church, he puts their eyes out to the real facts that the Holy Spirit is the one who rules and governs the church. So the enemy wants to get you to not believe that it's the Holy Spirit is the one ruling and governing the church. All discipline is brought by the parents. No. All discipline is brought by the pastor. I mean, hey, if you can get away with it, if Brother Barry doesn't see it, you can still be a Christian until he found out, now I have to stop. That's like three-year-old thinking, right? It's like, no. All discipline is brought by the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life?
Yeah.
Is he disciplining you? I'm not talking about just conviction. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about, has the Holy Spirit become, we talked about discipline as in like with an athlete. Has the Holy Spirit become your coach? Yeah. Have you seen the Holy Spirit as a coach in your life that's alongside you, in you, saying, hey, let's go. No. You can do two more push-ups. Come on. Give me more. I know you have it. Now, is that positive? And then you do. And then he's there going, that's my son. That's my daughter. Right? Because this is what the Holy Spirit... Like, we do not have an adversarial relationship with the Holy Spirit where he is just there like, you did it wrong. Repent. Good. Thank you. Carry on. No. Is that right? So in our communion with the Lord, as we just sang, we're just like, Lord, commune with me. Lord, let your communion with me bring me the discipline, but not just condemnation, not just conviction. But Father, would you help me to recognize when I am a little loose on this thing and could just by small things, small changes in my Christian form, tighten my elbows in just a little bit. It's a metaphor, right? Like, God, make me to be the Christian that I ought to be. There's probably 1,000 small little things that I could do. Don't throw them all at me at once. I'll probably be overwhelmed. But Lord, if you can just bring, and a good coach will do that. Just, hey, let's work on this thing. Now you've developed, let's work on this thing. Let's work on this thing. There's 1,000 things. It's like, man, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and all. There's 1,000 things wrong, but I can't correct all of those things right now, right? But I'm gonna help. I'm gonna lead you. This is Holy Spirit discipline. Amen. How I wished I could say the words that would make it go home to the right place, that it would never leave. Clinch in there. God gave the Holy Spirit to rule and govern the church. The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just sitting there. No, I know how to run, because he's shown me how to run. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Does this sound like someone who is perfect? No, but it's someone who understands my body needs to come into subjection. What? To the word? How? By the discipline of the Holy Spirit in his own life, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. From a man running from the presence of the Lord, may all the great mysteries that we are supposed to... Oh, I love this one. This one's just... I just love it. May all the great mysteries that we are supposed to know at this age, Lord, be unveiled to us, and we'll see the plainness of God. Small tangent here. Great mysteries, when they're made known to us, what do we see? The plainness of God. Yeah. Do we see, like, he's so much more mysterious? No. The mysteries are making God plain to us. And what when that happens, so that we'll know how to behave ourselves and act, correcting ourselves and bringing the members of our body into discipline to the word, that we might know how to live in this present day at the approaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, I just love that, because what that tells me is that when God is revealing himself because of this message, it is making God plain to me. And when God becomes plain to me, I will see more how to act in this present day. So what that's telling me is God has already given me everything I need to then bring my body under subjection to that, and I will grow and shape my life in that way. Amen?
Amen.
So what happens then if I never listen to the coach? What happens if I never listen to the instructions of how to shape my life? Brother Trevor, like, he just, you know, I've been to the altar 52 times. I know I shouldn't do this. Well, have you heard the word? Have you played a tape? Have you read the Bible? Have you listened to the Bible on audiobook? It is 2025. We can do those things. Like, right? What is your drive to work? You know, what are you listening to? Is there time? You know, Brother Trevor, when you were preaching this morning, there were things I really wanted to get rid of. Okay? What's it worth to you? What are you willing to invest in that process?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So what can we derive from this? Well, what happens if you begin to shape the exterior? Or we can look at people and we can see that they've shaped the exterior, but is that what we're talking about? Like, they've had to use self-control to do that, but for what reason? Is that a valid reason? This is just kind of a note on success. What is success in the stature of a perfect man looking like for you? Is it just, well, I look holy? Or is it, no, I am holy. I have become holy. Not that the outside appears holy, but, and so this now goes back to the point I just made. How is it that you are going to structure your life and have some self-control so that you can take the word into you, which is the thing that changes your body? Amen. It is the thing that makes you holy. And so you could say, well, I want to get rid of these things. I want to get rid of the sins. I want to get rid of the besetting things. I want to get rid of the addictions. But hey, you know, once I do that, that'll be great. And I'll still, like, do I care more about Jesus? Have I learned more about Jesus? Or have I just gotten, or do I just not upset him more? Right? And so we could, but I can tell you something. Jesus was upset with these men. Right?
Yeah.
And so we begin to continue to deepen our understanding of what is self-control. Why are we doing self-control? It is not just to eradicate the hard edges. It is not to just get off the things in our lives that others can see, that we can see. No, it is so much more holistic than that. It is, God, I need to structure my life so that the Word is becoming so present in me that those things are fading away. And this is what I would say would be the first step for anyone, especially you young people, to develop the habits of having the Word coming into your heart more than just in church services, but that you have a personal relationship with the Word of God. If you're going to self-control yourself in anything, keep eating 5 pieces of chocolate, but read your Bible every day. Keep eating 5 pieces of chocolate, but listen to a portion of a tape. Study the Word. Get into what it's saying, because what that is saying is what reveals to you the plainness of God and shows you how to discipline yourself. Not just because someone has told you you should and this is wrong, but because the Word has become, get into you and has begun to change you. It has become not only your coach, but your biggest advocate to mold your character from the inside out. And so if I'm going to say, hey, Brother Trevor, what is the first thing I should do to get deliverance from any besetting sin in my life? You know, what should I stop doing? And I would say, it's not what you should stop, it's what you should start.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And if you're going to discipline your time, discipline your time in a way that you can begin to bring into your life the strength that you need.
Amen.
You know? This is like buying the appropriate shoes. You know, don't start running until you have the right shoes and, you know, until you have all the good Gatorade and you have... Okay, this is a terrible example, but you understand what I'm trying to say, right? We're going to bring in the things that strengthen us. Right? Don't fight from a weak position. So that's what I would say. Our first thing that we should do is recognize where our source of strength comes from. Discipline ourselves in that way, and then take off a piece of chocolate and another. Amen? Is that all right? Okay, now we're getting to the quote that everybody's going to hate. It's not a Brother Branham quote, so you won't feel unspiritual if you hate it. I don't know. But anyway, it's from Charles Finney. But as I was just searching on these, I just want to bring this out as a principle and not as a law. Is that okay? And you all are like scared, like, what on earth is he going to say? But just want to remember, Charles Finney was a revivalist in the 1800s. And Brother Branham said that 96% of his converts held. So, like, he knew how to preach. And so I've always just been interested in the kinds of things that he says. And so I've read some of his books and some of his lectures. And so this is from Lectures on Systematic Theology. I don't really know what systematic theology is, but that's the name of the book. No one has opportunity to acquire information in regard to the laws of life and health, and the best means of sanctifying the whole spirit, soul, and body can be guiltless if he neglects these means of knowledge. Every man is bound to make the structure and laws of both the body and mind the subject of as thorough an investigation as circumstances will permit, to inform himself in regard to what are the true principles of perfect temperance and in what way the most can be made of all the powers of his body and mind for the glory of God. Does anyone want me to update that to 2025 speak? Okay, no problem. I can do that. So what he is saying is, It is your responsibility. If you claim to say you want to grow in the Lord, then it is your responsibility by that claim to search out, how is it I can grow in the Lord? What do I have to do in my body? What is causing me problems? To make a thorough and diligent search of all that is going on. You cannot come. You're just being hypocritical. Not to me, not to Brother Barry, not to whomever. But, you know, if you want to go to a youth camp and ask for prayer, say, God, I'm just dealing with this thing. It's like, but are you? Like, I know you're dealing, like, it's happening to you, but are you actually dealing with it? You're not lying to me if you're not. You're not, you know, it's you. You're the one that's coming up and saying, I'm dealing with this thing. It's like, well, I'm just saying, are you dealing with it? Because if you were dealing with it, then deal with it. Is that all right? Is that all right? Well, you know, I'm just a product of environment, my environment, you know, the devil has gotten this one over on me, and I'm just a believer that's impacted by, you know, TMPS. I'm using a Brother Diggs thing from the other night. You know what TMPS is? I'm just a believer of, impacted by TMPS, too much PlayStation. You know, I just have this syndrome. And I can't, you know, I just have to figure out how to love Jesus with TMPS. That sounds dumb, doesn't it? It is. And I know it's not TMPS. Well, I hope it's not. Maybe it is TMPS for some of you. I don't know. But what is the acronym for you? I am a believer. I'm impacted by this. But what has caused that? Have you done a thorough search, and what you can do with all that you are and all that God can do in you to get over this? Okay, so the next one from Revivals of the Religion, this is the one you're really not going to like. Young converts, by proper instructions, are easily brought to be temperate in all things. I struggle with this one because I'm like, easily brought to be temperate in all things? I'm not sure. Maybe in the 1800s. Yet this was a subject greatly neglected in regard to young converts and almost lost sight of in the churches. There is a vast deal of intemperance in churches, and I do not mean intemperate drinking in particular, but intemperance in eating and in living generally. Wow. I just want you to know, he was not a Laodicea preacher. He was in Philadelphia, okay? So there is, in fact, but little conscience about it in the churches. And therefore, the progress of reform in the matter is slow. Nothing, well, why? Because, well, nobody cares. How are we going to change something? We don't care. Sure. Nothing but an enlightened conscience can carry forward a permanent reform. 10 years ago, most ministers used ardent spirit and kept it in their houses to treat their friends and their ministering brethren with. And the great body of members in the churches did the same. Now there are but few of either who are not actual drunkards that will do so. But still there are many that indulge without scruple in the use of wine. Chewing and smoking tobacco, too, are acts of temperance. I think that was supposed to be intemperance. If they use these mere stimulants when there is no necessity for them, what is that but intemperance? That is not being temperate in all things. So he's saying, look, all of these things, you know, okay, maybe it's not alcohol anymore, but there's still plenty of things that people are not being temperate about. Until Christians shall have a conscience on this subject and be made to feel that they have no right to be intemperate in anything, they will make but little progress in religion. How would you like him to be your pastor? It is well known, or ought to be, that tea and coffee have no nutrient in them. They are mere stimulants. They go through the system without being digested. The milk and sugar you put in them are nourishing, and so they would be just as much so if you mixed them with rum and made milk punch. But the tea and coffee afford no nourishment. And yet I dare say that a majority of the families in this city give more in a year for their tea and coffee than they do to save the world from hell. Probably this is true respecting entire churches. Now, I want to make a caveat because I recognize here that this is the church that Vision Books is kind of comes out of. So, you know, I don't know if that gives you all a complete pass on this, but like, let's at least recognize that this church is doing quite a bit to, you know, put money and effort towards saving the world from hell. So praise the Lord for that. But I will just dwell here for, you know, just a moment. And it's like, does this, you know, Brother Trevor, are you saying you against tea? Brother Trevor, are you saying you against coffee? Like, I want us to be just, like, to just, again, just to kind of shake our awareness, right? To get out of the status quo and how things are always done and what we just do and don't think about. But to say, like, hey, wait a second. Is that a place where I should, you know, like, do I care? Am I temperate? Is there places in my life, not only in just the things I want to get rid of, but also are there other things that maybe you're sitting here and there are a lot of things that you have worked through and you have grown in grace and you have used self-control to eliminate problems in your life and allow the Spirit to grow. And now the things that you used to struggle with 5 years ago, they're not a struggle with anymore, but you still have tea and coffee. Even agents, and we'll let me finish. Even agents of benevolent societies will dare to go through the churches soliciting funds for the support of missionary and other institutions, and yet use tea, coffee, and in some cases tobacco. Strange. No doubt many are giving five times as much for mere intemperance as they give for every effort to save the world. Full disclosure slide. Just before church. I had 200 stars and saved 645 on one drink and still spent $18 on tea and coffee.
Shame.
Thank you. I appreciate the discipline. God bless you, coach. But to be... So I had to live this sermon. So, yeah. So it's like, well, Brother Trevor, it's like, what are you saying? Well, am I saying the $18 we spent that would have been 24 had it not been for my 200 stars, which represent a lot more money. But do we consider it? Are we living our lives so shallowly? So, and this begins, and again, what I want to do here is now really what I'm trying to do is drive down into the heart of the issue of what self-control, what temperance really is. Is do we care enough to make changes in our life? Or is it so on the surface? It's like, yeah, you know, Vision Books, great thing. Brother Barry does a lot of that. And, you know, Brother Ben, a lot of the brothers, they, you know, this is, they do these things, you know. But pizza and, you know, venti, whatever. You know, it's like, oh, wow, okay. Do you consider that that money could be used for the Lord? Do you consider that if you were to, and again, I'm not saying get rid of all the chocolate necessarily here, but what if you had one less venti whatever per week? Wow, I know that would be so hard. It would be a trial, but could you do it? Not could you do it, but again, only in principle that I'm speaking. Has there been a vision set? I'm going to take this off, not because I have a lot of preaching left to do, even because my, but just because I want to. It's hot. Just don't be alarmed. Okay. Is there a vision that is set before you that okay, Brother Trevor, why? Why should I care? Okay, that's a great question. Maybe you should begin to take that in prayer. Lord, What is my vision? What is it that you have for me? If I'm going to self, if I'm going to do what Brother Trevor's saying here, if I'm going to do what the Scripture's saying, and I'm going to start having self-control, and I'm going to start eliminating things from my life, and I'm going to start using some of my own strength to participate in this whole thing that you might receive glory, God, and so I'm going to get rid of some of the bad stuff, but God, I want to start doing some of the good stuff. What is that? What does that look like for you? Have you had a vision of what your life could and maybe should look like? Have you brought it in prayer before God? God, what is it that you have made me unique, and you've put things in my life, and maybe I'm not a scatterbrained preacher like Brother Trevor, but there's got to be something that you can get out of my life in the way that you've created me. And I believe that's the case for every single one of you, but so many of us just kind of wander. We have not really come to the table and said, God, here I am. Let's go. What's the thing? Because if you lack a vision, then well, I have $6.45. I might as well get on board with PSL season. Pumpkin spice latte, if you weren't in the know there, right? Like, but if there's a vision now, that vision that I can see could excite me and say, hey, that's really what I want. And that, I value that vision of who I can be and step into far more than just one pumpkin spice latte or one this or a collection of all of those things. It brings down to me that there's something worth having, so that now there's a unity of purpose and vision in my life where I can say that is in the way of the greater purpose and vision that God has for me, that I've recognized will be the greatest way possible to live my life.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's
fine. Is that right? Right? So because we believe that there are so many ways of just walking and doing whatever. Even here with Message Young People, have not committed to prayer, to earnest prayer. God, what is it? Where are you taking me? What is my purpose? What is my calling? What am I going to be doing for you? Because here's the thing. What the mysteries being revealed has made God plain before you to give you, what did he say? To give you that discipline, to give you that self-control. What is it doing? It is revealing to you your place in the body of Jesus Christ, that you are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And with that, not only comes responsibilities, but absolute privileges. I will tell you, the greatest thing that you'll ever find doing in your life is to impact another person for Jesus Christ in the way that, in the unique way that God has called you to be. You will do that and you'll be like, that was a... And you'll be like, I gotta text somebody. I gotta call somebody. Oh, I gotta get you. Like, hey, yeah, man, coolest thing just happened to me. There was a God thing that just happened in my life. Is that okay? Because we say those kinds of things, right? So what is that? Because if you lack that vision, well, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And so in addition to the things that we want to have self-control on, I would say actually add into your time, God, and seeking out, like, Lord, what is it you've called me to do? What is it? Where are my talents? And finding that out. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've looked in the mirror and you thought, I am the biggest nobody that ever came through the doors of Hickory Bible Tabernacle. Maybe you feel that way. I bet there's more than one. And maybe you've not looked at it. But what I can tell you is that God doesn't give his Holy Spirit to nobodies. That he is that he loves you, that he created you. And what I would say is not that you're a nobody. What I would say is that let God, Probably what it is the biggest thing you think is the worst quality in your life is actually the superpower that God put in your life. Amen. Search it out and see. Like, God, I'm just, okay, I'll just go there, Zion. Like, he was smiling at me because he knew. I was like, no, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, one of Zion's superpowers, he's just the most stubborn guy ever. His wife is even, like, she's figured that out too. She's like, oh my goodness sakes. If he tells me one more time, I'm just, anyway. But I can tell you what, that's what Zion's mother thought. Oh my goodness, God gave us a defective one. You think stubbornness is like, yeah, we got to root out stubbornness in your kid. Don't root out stubbornness in your kid. That is a superpower gifted to them by God. You think, Brother Trevor, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Well, guess what? What if they're stubborn about practicing the piano? What if they're stubborn about serving the Lord? What if they're stubborn about being right? What if they're stubborn? There's a lot of good qualities to stubbornness. It's just if it's not directed against you. Right. And so I don't know what, I don't know. Maybe there's something in your life that you think, I am so this way, it's the worst thing ever, and God just won't take it from me. It's like, yeah, because he probably wants to use that. And it is probably the superpower that he has put inside of your life that he wants to harness by the Holy Spirit working through that thing to make you amazing. But have you given him the time to reveal that to you? Have you taken, God, I want a purpose and I want a vision. We got to get out of, Lord, take the bad stuff away from me so I can just not be bad. Like, let's move higher than that. No, Lord, it's not just me not being bad, but it's me being amazing in your kingdom. What's the thing, Lord? Where's that? What's that vision? And allow that vision to now come and saturate your mind and go, okay, this is awesome. I want to be a part. And if I'm going to do that, I want trophies in that area. So I'm going to practice. I'm going to get good at that. I'm going to give my time to the Lord so that he can make something of that gift. Yeah. Amen? All right. Amen. So this is, hey, self-control is more than just about trying to get rid of bad things in our life, although we can use it for that.
Yeah.
So I want us to turn back to Romans chapter 8. And I've got verse 5 and 6 on the slides, but I feel like we should kind of continue on where we left off this morning a little bit. And just a few more thoughts and we'll close here in just 5 minutes. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But after who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. And so as I said, Paul is transitioning us in Romans 7 from the law through grace into living in the Spirit. And what the prophet has told us is that it is the Holy Spirit that disciplines the church. So as we live then in a Spirit-filled life, minding the things of the Spirit, we are no longer looking at the problems of the flesh, but at the potentials of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the challenge is that the Holy Spirit receives the strength that it needs in your life by the Word of God coming in, by you dedicating and giving diligence to these things. You've been given faith. You've been given the virtue. You've been given the knowledge. Now begin the application in temperance. Begin the application in patience. Begin the application in godliness. Guess what? You're going to have to go through patience to get to godliness.
That's right.
Yep. You think you're going to be gifted it? No. In order to be godly, you're going to have to spend time being patient. You're going to have situations that cause you to have to wait gracefully. Right? These are things that we are going to walk through in our lives to grow into. But the net effect is what? That you grow into the stature of a perfect man or perfect woman. Amen? So to be spiritually minded, what we are saying is we're minding the things of the Spirit. We're looking at the things of the Spirit. We're done, as we said this morning, we're done dealing with the issues of the flesh because Christ took care of that for me. I now have the ability to focus my mind and my energies and my dedication and my practice and everything I am into living in the Spirit. Am I good at it yet? Nope. But I'm focusing everything I have into living there, into feeding that, into growing in the Spirit. Amen. So, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Which means if you feed the Holy Spirit in your life, what you were wanting to get rid of this morning, He will do. It may not be instant, but He will do it. Through this process, through walking through temperance, through walking through patience, through growing in godliness, the Holy Spirit disciplining you, being that coach, being that advocate to work with you if you'll give Him the time not to walk in the flesh, but now in the Spirit, He will quicken you. He will you will live the best life you ever thought possible. So I kind of wanted to start this. I didn't, but I kind of wanted to start this sermon with, hey, if I gave you, you know, all the money and time that you needed over the next week to do whatever you wanted to do, what do you do? You've got complete freedom to do it. What do you do? I would have got more work done in my house. The siding project is getting old. I need that done. But otherwise, would I have still drove to North Carolina and preached to Hickory Bible Tabernacle if I had the ability to do anything I wanted to do? Yes. Yes. What I can tell you is, by God's grace, like, I am living my most free life right now.
Sure.
There's nothing I can think of that I'd rather be doing right now than what I'm actually doing right now. I'm just going to tell you, it's great. I think it's awesome. It has nothing to do with me, it's like, yeah, you just like, I love what I'm doing because God has put this in my heart to do it. Because I've recognized that God put something in there. And what I've done is I've spent over 20 years developing what I saw God put in my life. And Brother Trevor, you're a minister. You got to, like, look, it's just, can we stop? That's Nicolaitan thinking. Like, it's like, oh, it's different for you because you're a preacher. No.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm a guy just like you. I'm not a girl just like you, but you understand, you know, I was not different in that way. Right? There's things that God put in your life. And if you were to walk then in the Spirit and feed that gift, then what you're doing is you're living the absolute greatest thing you can. There's nothing you'd rather be doing. You find yourself serving God and you're thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. My wife and I were driving down the road the other day and it's like, man, you know, like you think about all these worldly people and they have their TVs and they have all of these things and I'm thinking, you know, just like how? Like how do you binge watch a show? Like I don't even, you know, who has time for that? Who can, you know, I don't understand. There's so many things that I'm doing. And, you know, here we are driving seven, you know, it's like, well, they're probably not driving 7 hours to Carolinas to preach the gospel and then driving back home to, you know, be back in time for work on Monday and all of these kinds of things. It's like, well, maybe if we didn't do that, we'd have time to watch TV. Well, I wish we should do. Maybe we should stop doing this. We could watch whatever. No show came to mind. So I just, You know, right? Like, wouldn't that be great? No! No, it wouldn't. It really wouldn't be great. But you know what? When I was way younger, when I was 20, maybe I would have been like, well, I mean, I don't know. That did look good. You know, that just looks like, you know, right? But what happened was there was time in my life where I was just like you before. You know, not as tall, but you know, good. No, I'm just not going there. But you know, right? But working through this, like just walking through the process of faith to where, yes, there were things that I used to like and I used to struggle with, and Lord, I need to do less of that. God, I just spent way too much time, you know, like news this week. It's been a news week that have just wanted to draw us all in, right? And just like, right? But then, what then next week? But then next week? But then next week? And suddenly we know we're all up in arms about the latest thing that's been going on and blah, blah, blah. And we haven't thought about what God wants from us because we've been responding to all of this. Wow. And we haven't disciplined ourselves. And so, you know what? I'm nothing against the news. I looked at plenty of news today. Wednesday afternoon, it was just like, okay. Saturation point, turn off, we're done, I gotta stop. I need to turn on godly music. I need to change the atmosphere in my heart, because the atmosphere in my heart isn't right. What is that? This is discipline, right? Now, and I'm not saying for me, like if you all were as cool as me, but no, for 45-year-old me, not, how old are you? 10, not 10-year-old me. There's a big difference there, right? Maturity, experience, practice, not expecting anybody, you know, I expect more out of you. Right? We're not expecting you to be perfect. That's not what we're saying, is we're growing into perfection. Amen. These are the tools that God has given us to grow into perfection. And so there's been processes in my life. And now I can recognize, okay, saturate. Like, there's cues that I'm like, oh, I've been there before. No, it's time for me to shut this down. Or I will get sucked in. I'll be too much. I gotta stop. You'll learn these things. God, the Holy Spirit, will strengthen these muscles. You'll have muscles of self-control as you discipline yourself. You'll build these things, and you will get better at it, and you will shut things down a whole lot faster, and you will begin to recognize, ooh, this is a nice alley I could walk down. And I've repented from being down that alley many, many times before. And you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a big, huge something right here, so I don't even see this thing anymore. And after a while, I could probably take it down because I don't care about that thing anymore. But that's the process of walking through, walking in faith, growing in these things. It doesn't come just in a moment, but through the process of the Holy Spirit, you walking in the Spirit, you grow in these things. It's just, in a sense, this is simple. It should be easy, but we want it to be even easier, you know? And so, because these are things that we desire. But what I'm trying to advocate and hopefully help you to see is that there is something that God has for you that can and should be the greatest desire you would ever have, and that is a vision of what He wants to do through your life. And if you have that, if you can see that, then these things all become so much easier, because now there's a harmony between what your heart is looking for and what He is looking for in you. And because of that harmony, you choose self, choosing self-control. I don't have to be beat by this thing. I don't have to have external forces. No, there's something now in me that wants that. So in my own self and in my own heart, I choose to do this. I may not be great at it, but I'm going to choose it. And this is self-control. Galatians 5:22-25. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Right? Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Self-control isn't because of fear. You receive the spirit of adoption, where you're saying, Father, I want you. Right? So final quote here. How can the church, the Pentecostal church, the Baptist churches, be adopted until they come to discipline? We've got to be disciplined first. God could not trust this power with the church. It's hard to tell what you would do. If God gave you supernatural power right now, what would you do with it? You don't know. We don't know. Might be great. Might not be. But if you're disciplined, God wants to bring you through discipline, and then he can trust you with his power. How could a father trust his business with a boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? He couldn't do it. The church has got to come to a place where it's disciplined. God's on that work right now. Discipline. Musicians, you can come. I'd just like to ask you, is God on... I trust that if it hasn't been, that in this service, God is going to begin that work on you right now. Discipline. It's maybe not the funnest thing ever, but what I'm telling you is it will produce amazing things. You know, for Zion, there was a lot of me, Zion, you got to practice piano. Zion, you got to practice piano. Till one day he caught a vision. I appealed to his pride. You like it when people watch you, and you love having, you know, the performance, right? Yeah, I really love that. Yeah. I tell you what, think about how good you'll be and how much more amazing it will be if you practice more. I never thought of that. And I never had to tell him again. Why? Because I appealed to his vision. It was a prideful vision at the time. God has helped him with that, so it's all good. It wasn't pride. It wasn't pride for him last night. It, you know, he's praise the Lord. He's got some self-control. He's gotten past that, right? But what was it? Appealed to vision. And then he said, you know what? This is worth doing so that I could obtain that. God has given a prize for you, and there's a way, there's a life that he has for you that is going to be so worth all of the discipline that you would choose, hey, I want this for me. And I pray that God gives you that vision, that I want this for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know these are, seems like simple, basic words, Father, but Father, this is the stuff of life. This is where we're at. These are the things that we just need to walk through. But Father, I'm so glad that it is your Holy Spirit that has come into our lives to quicken these things, to speak these things to our hearts, Lord. Lord, how we need you so much. Father, I just pray for this group of believers here, Father, that, Lord, if there's those that haven't caught a vision of who they could be in you and what you would have for them and the great life that they could live serving you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that Father, that you, your Holy Spirit, would begin to remind them that as they go to bed tonight, Lord, that their mind would just open to you, Lord, and that they'd begin to just commune with you and to speak with you and say, God, what is that thing? Who am I? What is it that you want to do with me? What is the qualities that you've put in my life that I should give more to you? Oh, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would do the work that even now, as the quote we just read says, this is the work you're doing, Lord, is that discipline. Lord, may we choose that higher calling and that higher vision in our life. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Lord, if my steps seem overturned, Lord, lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Lord, if my steps in your word, please order my steps in your word. Steps in your word, dear Lord, lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointed, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my step in your word. I want to walk. Thank you.
Service. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to have prayer, anything at all that maybe you're struggling with and you'd like to have Brother Trevor pray for you, you're welcome to come. The very best thing you can do is if you could give something up or you could give something, cause it to lose its power, you would. But there are times in your life the thing you struggle with maybe it's just beyond you as to how to deal with that. And you know what? The best thing to do is to give it to God, because God's always got an answer. That's the beautiful thing. Let's sing this.
Here I am, here I stand.
I give up. myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself.
Thank you, Jesus. Be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, be it unto me
according to thy word. According to your promises, I can stand secure. Come.
How many of you are glad that you came to church this weekend? How many of you are glad you came to church this weekend? I am. I've learned a lot. And I've just enjoyed the presence of the Lord and the worship and the preaching and the singing and everything else. God is good to us, isn't he? God is good all the time. God is good. Sure is. Somebody asked me, what are we going to do after church? Are we going to have coffee? I said, absolutely. Regular decaf. We'll have tea and chocolate. Because none of that about the chocolate was true. None of that was true. Don't you worry about that, sisters. Don't you worry about that. I was in Starbucks one time, and I was paying with the app that was there, and I think you might have been with me, and I showed him my phone, and the number of stars that I had, and he was a little bit of an emotional fella. I kind of knew who he was, and he's like, I've never seen that many stars before. And he ran off. He stopped and ran off and went into the employee room, got his phone, and came out and took a picture of my phone. They're all gone now. They're all gone. So don't you worry. Don't you worry about that. But God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we have a snack prepared for everybody, and we just appreciate the little bit of time that we have to fellowship. And you know, I came into the kitchen there before service started, and there was three or four sisters who were in there, five sisters, and they were working away, and they were standing there cutting, and some of them were weeping, and they were holding napkins over their eyes, and I thought, Lord, how sincere they all are. And then I realized they were all cutting onions. But we have a snack prepared, and we want you to come and fellowship and just enjoy the time together, because getting with God's people is special. I want to say we appreciate Brother Trevor, and he's a star in my book, so we appreciate him coming and just ministering to us. And just, you know, sometimes you can take something that may seem simple, but it's something that you got to deal with. You have to face, and you got to like before you're going to go to the next level, you got to deal with this level, and before this next virtue comes, you have to come through this virtue. And the Holy Spirit knows just exactly what He's doing. His timing is never wrong, and we appreciate that about the Holy Spirit, and He just knows how to speak to us. So we appreciate that. And Sister Eamon and the family, we just appreciate you coming all that way and spending weekend with us, and may God richly bless you. And for all of you that are here tonight, may God bless you and bless your week that lays ahead, and Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Let's sing God is Good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you
for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we've had to be in your house and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And now as we leave, Lord, I pray we take these nuggets with us, Lord. We take these valuable insights into your word, which have been hidden through the ages, but now, Lord, are made so plain, so real to us. And I pray that we would not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And so, Lord, impress our hearts, and Lord, may we hold on to these things as truths, Lord, that we need to practice in our lives, and how we love you and how we appreciate you, Lord, and how clear you make things. That could only be the Holy Spirit. So have your way now, we pray. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time together this evening, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
God bless you. Good to see you here. And I would ask you just to remember Sister Carrie's father. And he has some serious issues with heart and stroke, and so we're just committing him to the Lord and just trusting that you'll remember him in prayer this week. And he's in the hospital, and I know that it's just a real support to the Whitlocks who are going through some sickness there and so forth, and we just trust that the Lord will undertake for them. So if you don't mind remembering that, and Sister Tina Knobloch as well. Amen. Let's sing this as we go tonight. God bless you.
We were sinners, so unworthy.
Oh, God is good all the time.